it's obvious now that the Poor People's Campaign is needed more than ever. I mean, with ICE raiding people's houses, taking people out of their homes, it's Gestapo tactics, and it's horrifying. And I don't think that it could have come at a better time, the Poor People's Campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're moving into the training phase where we're training people in nonviolent civil disobedience. And the day after Mother's Day, that 40 days of action starts.
That's right. And so one of the things that I recognize and really love about the Poor People's Campaign, and one of the reasons I said we should do this broadcast remotely, because we're right now in the kitchen at B-Love, Asheville, and where people have come together to really enter into a mission to get food to folks that can't come out, that don't feel safe in the community that we live in, which is just a nightmare. And so one of the things that I really love about the Poor People's Campaign and what's happening right now is that people from all walks of life are coming together from every intersection you can imagine in this house right now and making sure that we're taken care of and standing up for what is right. And that has been just really potent and powerful to see people. You know, we have folks who are living on the street saying, "How can I help?" And jumping in, and we have moms with young kids, and it's just been an amazing thing to experience. And what we know is that we're stronger together. Mm. And when we bring together folks that say, "If you're suffering, I'm gonna stand up for you. If you're oppressed, I'm oppressed, I'm gonna stand up for you." And that's what I think is really what the Poor People's Campaign is really saying writ large. At the national level, is that we're going to stand up for each other, and we're not going to stand for this.
Whatever
you
do.
We're not going to stand for this kind of oppression. We're not going to stand for this kind of terror in our neighborhoods. Yeah. We're not going to stand for our people struggling to make it in the richest nation in the world. And we're not going to spend money, you know, perpetuating violence in our own communities and in communities across the globe at the expense of our schools and making sure that people have food on their table.
And human beings. I mean, these people, so many people who think everything's okay right now call themselves Christian, but when Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do also to me," he wasn't kidding. When he said, "The poor you will always have with you," he didn't say it dismissively. He said it as a warning that we had better do something. And right now, we're all standing together and saying, "Not in my town, not in my home, you will not." And even though they think they can, and, you know, maybe they can force themselves in and kidnap human beings from their homes and their families, but we're not going to sit by and let it happen. And we will fight. We're not going to, in the country that has the potential for the best healthcare system in the world, continue to let people die the way my son died 10 years ago. We are not going to do this anymore. We are not going to let this happen. This is our country. These are our people. And we will be human toward them.
So one of the things I want to really bring out is just to let people know how they can get engaged. Mm-hmm. So they can certainly go to the Poor People's Campaign website, which is poorpeoplescampaign.org. Certainly contact myself or Leslie to get involved. That's one of the things I love about this local community is you can just go up to us, you know, on the street or at the grocery store.
And we're both on Facebook.
How can we get engaged? Exactly.
Yeah.
So we want folks engaged. We're going to start our first training Saturday here in Asheville, so the folks need to contact us to sign up for that. But what we're entering in, as Leslie said earlier, is 40 days of moral action, and that's to kick off this campaign. It's just the very beginning. So there'll be actions every Monday in state houses and in D.C.
For 6 weeks. There's 41 states, 40 states and the District of Columbia. So there's 41 places.
Yes.
I told one of the leaders of the campaign that I was going to be away the final week, family reunion, and she said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Maine." And she said, "Oh, you know, there's an action in Maine that Monday. I'm going. I will be there."
There you go.
I will take that day out of my family reunion, and I will drag my sisters, and we will go to Portland, Maine, and we will stand and say no more.
There you go.
So are the actions that are happening in North Carolina, are those happening here locally in Asheville, or would they be elsewhere, or both?
Well, that's a really good question. So we're going to be taking folks to Raleigh. And really what we know is not only at the federal level, but also at the state level, there are laws that are being enacted mm-hmm. against poor people, against people of color. And so we want to make sure that that message goes to our state legislatures right. as well. The other thing is, and local action is really powerful. And so lots of us in this house every week, we have a meeting called Homeless Voice. It's people who are living through the housing crisis here who are amplifying their voices in public policy that directly impacts them. So we're already doing this work. And the Poor People's Campaign is really reaching to the ground in all of these different places and taking mm-hmm. folks are already working at the local level around issues that directly impact poor people and people of color and saying we want to hold hands together across this nation as the Poor People's Campaign and lift up all the work that we're doing locally. So we encourage folks to get involved in their local community Please. With groups that are already doing this work on the ground. We don't want to sort of
We're not going to reinvent the wheel.
But there's lots of great work that folks can engage in, and our folks here at Homeless Voice will be engaged in the Poor People's Campaign.
Right.
But then the other thing is that, you know, we'll have teach-ins on Tuesdays. There's going to be cultural arts connected to this on Thursdays. So that, and those will be happening in local places.
And then in pulpits across the nation, they will be preaching the message for the each week's theme, and each week will be themed. And I wanted to also mention, one of the reasons we're doing this on state levels in so many places is because most of the most egregious stuff has been passed by state legislatures. And, you know, North Carolina was Alex's laboratory. I mean, everything they came up with, our legislators took it and passed it. And, you know, one of the things Reverend Barber has said from the very beginning, back when we were still doing Moral Mondays and national people were coming to him and saying, hey, let me help you take this national, he always said, it can't be national. It has to be state by state. This is where they took the power, and this is where we need to take it back.
And we're going to continue to do that. And I think the power of this is that this is just a start. This is a start of all these groups all over the country connecting and locking arms. And so we'll be continuing after the 40 right. days to organize together collectively when we need a collective voice to have more power at the national level.
Right.
And then we're also going to support each other on the ground.
Standing together across issues. You know, if they come for health care, that's my issue, but Amy's going to stand with me. And if they're coming to hurt people who don't have housing, I'm going to stand with Amy. And that's the whole, that's part of the beauty of this, is that it's not just one topic, it's everything. And we're standing together, arm in arm, try and get past us now. We are together.
Well, before we close things out, I know that many of our listeners will be more familiar with the Moral Monday movement.
Yes.
And so the Poor People's Campaign is new and a little bit different. Could you talk about the evolution of this work and the tactics that are being used?
I think that's a really, really good question. And I'll say it's sort of new and also ancient, so, right? Mm-hmm. We're hearkening back to the moment in 1968 when Dr. King, you know, met the assassin's bullet on April the 4th at the Lorraine Motel. And so, you know, that was the work that all of our ancestors in this fight, you know, we've been standing on their shoulders. And one of the things that they were doing back in 1967 and 68 is they began to really realize that these things were connected, right?
Right.
Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez and indigenous leaders and folks from all over the nation that were working on the ground,
mm-hmm.
right, with their people realized that we need to come together. So this was the work that was happening in 1968 in this plan engagement, which started in the summer of 68,
mm-hmm.
even though Dr. King had died. But really, we see this as a continuation because we know that work is not complete, but that there are folks that descended, you know, in mule trains on Washington, D.C., slept in tents on the National Mall. So we're continuing that work until it's done.
And the other piece of this is, during the Moral Monday movement, I had a radio reporter ask me in Raleigh, your issue is healthcare. Why are you watering it down? And I said, you don't understand. I'm stronger when I'm standing with someone who's an education advocate on one side of me and a housing advocate on the other. Because when you pull apart the tapestry that is our society, you can't weave one thread back in and then say, there, we're done. You have to put it all back together. And if we don't stand together, it won't get put back together. So this is why we stand together. It's for all of us.
That's great. Anything you want to add?
We just encourage people to come and get engaged, and you know, we're just starting, so this is the perfect time to come and get on board and meet people from our local
community.
From
the beginning, you can say you were here when it started.
Right.
And, of course, we can always stand here and chant forward together, not one step back.
There you go.
Which is kind of the mantra of the movement. We're just going to keep moving forward. We will not be pushed back. We will stand strong. And we will.
I'm reminded we joined musicians and activists and artists. So some folks know B-Love. We're all of that. We're musicians, artists, and activists. And so we joined folks from all over the country and working on the songs and the images of the campaign. And so my four-year-old twins were with us in Raleigh when we were doing that. So they learned all the songs, and it's just really wonderful.
Boy, they mean it when they sing it, too.
To hear a four-year-old say, everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And then it goes, before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail.
Because
singing, everybody's got a right to live. And I think that's really powerful. We're not only acting, we're teaching our children what is true. And I say that song has an innate logic to it. You know, when I sing it with people, you can see it in their eyes.
We have a
right to live.
Well, when we started, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I will die for liberation, for I know why I was made. And I cry every time I sing that song. I think of my son. I think of how I'm willing to die to save others now. And I mean it. And I never felt that way before, but I really mean it now.
That's right.
Because there are things worth sacrificing your life for, and the freedom and dignity of every human being is one of those things.
Yes. And the sound of this movement is the sound of, you know, the people moving. And so Right to Live is the song that came from the 68 Poor People's Campaign. And I Am Not Afraid was actually written in the back of a paddy wagon in Ferguson by a young man who said he looked up and he saw young men of color whose faces were all bloodied. And he said the song rose up in him.
Yep.
I am not afraid. I would die for liberation.
And so
this sound is so powerful, I think.
We were singing that, and I was holding the hand of one of the people from the national movement, but I know her from even before Moral Monday. And we're in a circle holding hands, and she's looking at me, and I've got tears just streaming down my cheeks because that song moves me like nothing ever did before. It's, no, I will not be afraid. I'm not afraid. There are plenty of people who try and make us afraid. You know, you could go to jail. Yes, we could. But when you think of the people in Mississippi in the Parchman prison, when they wouldn't relent, and the police came and said, all right, you're going to take our mattresses. You can take our mattress. And they sang this song. And then they came and said, all right, now we're taking your toiletries. Come on, give us your toothbrush. And they still had enough of a sense of humor to sing through almost sealed lips, you can take my toothbrush, And, you know, when I think of that spirit, and I think the most time I've ever spent in jail is 7 hours, I'm good. I've been lucky so far. So this is, you know, this is a continuation of the movement that started in the late 1960s. And a half century later, we're standing up and saying, oh, by the way, we're still here.
That's right.